A lot of people don't know that in the early church, there wasn't much interest in celebrating Christmas at all. There was much more of a focus on Easter and Good Friday and those central events to the life of the faith. And only after maybe 300 years or so was there some interest in developing a holiday, a Christmas holiday. And interest increased gradually over the years. But it wasn't until the 1500s that we have any indication that there were Christmas trees in homes in Germany, and there was kind of a conflation of the solstice holiday in the pagan traditions. You know, during that season of the year when there was little light and things didn't grow, and celebrating the expectation that spring would come, and then the Christian church kind of capitalized on that and began to celebrate Christ's birth, the light of the world, the life, the hope of life during that same season. And actually in the United States, people don't know that initially, you know, the pilgrims were against the celebration of Christmas altogether. And in Massachusetts, actually, it was illegal to celebrate Christmas at once upon a time.
Really?
Yeah, true. They couldn't. It's even written into the early law code that the public schools had to stay open on Christmas.
So Hallmark didn't really care for Massachusetts for that part. It's interesting that you talk about this. That, you know, it has sort of had that convergence of solstice and other beliefs and faiths and whatnot. Kind of have sort of come to this time of the year together, that we know it as a Christian holiday, but there are other faiths that have celebrations. We talk about Hanukkah and the development of Kwanzaa and all of these other in this time of the year. Do you feel it is almost sort of that aspect of, at this point of the year, there is a reason to perhaps celebrate, like you said, the potential for the new birth, the new life and whatnot? Is it sort of a psychological aspect of it as well, do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think you're right. During this season when it's cold and dark, we long for good news. We long for hope and the expectation that spring will come. And so that fits in nicely with our Christian message. And I don't see anything wrong with that particularly. But in the late 1800s, the commercialization piece began. You know, it was actually the Woolworth Company that started aggressively marketing Christmas as a time to buy gifts for others, which, again, isn't wrong, but it has become kind of an obsession, a national obsession.
Well, we could certainly pick that up here in just a moment with our next segment, because that's kind of, if there was anything that is decried about Christmas, I think on a universal level, it's over commercialization. And we understand that, you know, that has part of it has to do with the fact of the story of the gifts that we learn as children of the wise men bringing gifts and all of that. And it seems like a logical evolution, but it really takes away some of the message, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really does. You know.
We just devalues the message. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to someone that just says, I can't take Christmas anymore? It's like there's so much of it and blah, blah, blah. You know, from the commercialization standpoint, what's your opinion?
Well, I think that's a good question, a good point. I think most of us feel the pressure of this season. We feel busy. We feel the pressure of getting enough gifts for enough people and getting them out in the mail on time and sending out Christmas cards to everyone. And I think we've kind of allowed these kind of pressures to build up inside of ourselves and around us. It kind of gets out of hand for us.
And that started, you saying, in like the 1800s or so, that kind of picked up. And I think there is a certain warmth or whatever that comes from doing it. When you're out Christmas shopping, you get that feeling and the music's playing and snow is falling and blah, blah, blah. But it takes away from, I think, what is really the message of Christmas, which, while a Christian holiday, it has a message that is a universal message. And what is that message of Christmas?
Well, I think, you know, from a Christian perspective, it has to do with God emptying himself and becoming human in the person of a very little child born to a very poor couple in an out-of-the-way place. There wasn't room for them. They weren't welcome in an inn. And so, you know, in that sense, it has to do with generosity to the poor, with remembering the poor, with God's care for all people. And so I think, you know, it's appropriate that people are giving gifts to Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, Room at the Inn, and so many other things, other agencies during this time of the year. Just in the last week, we've had, for example, in our congregation, two homeless people, one chronically so and one very temporarily so, who've come in and together with other religious agencies and governmental agencies, we've worked to try to get these folks back on their feet. Just seems to be that this time of the year, we are aware of that, of our common humanity.
It's not so much a season of consuming and purchasing as it is as giving and sharing.
Yeah, and of generosity. And of course, that reminds us as Christians, as Christian people, of the incredible generosity of God and the great gift of God.